This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The news is promising from the conflict zone, Ukraine crisis. The foreign minister of Turkey declares that the two sides are, to quote the Financial Times, converging on aspects of a peace deal despite the standoff. This is through a glass darkly. So I go immediately to Dr. Akın Erdemir, the director of the Turkey program of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. You would expect in a contest such as this, there will be peace negotiations, there will be disappointments, there will be breakoffs and then return. And so therefore we're entering into an area where there is no clarity. But Akın, a very good day to you. The foreign minister has said the two sides are converging. The reason Turkey's position is profound here is the Black Sea Basin is the conflict zone. So what to make of the foreign minister's remarks? What at this point can we say of President Erdogan's government and his conduct watching this conflict in Ukraine? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to join you. So the Turkish foreign minister's announcement on Sunday was a hopeful one, which in a way contradicted an earlier statement by Erdogan's spokesperson, İbrahim Kalın, which was published by the New York Times the day before, where Kalın mentioned the need for some compromise, concession or deal, he said, before Putin will call this war off. But ultimately, whether Ukraine and Russia are close to peace or not, and the latest news show that they're not, Turkey has much to lose from the conflict. Because ultimately, Ankara has strong economic and defense relationships with both Moscow and Kiev. So the longer the conflict continues, the greater the costs will be for Turkey, not only in terms of the lost tourism revenue from Ukrainian and Russian tourists, not only obstacles to defense cooperation with Ukraine and Russia, but also Turkey imports significant amount of food, especially wheat and vegetable oil from both Russia and Ukraine. So you can see Turkey has been proactive trying to find a diplomatic solution to this, knowing that the Turkish government is at dire straits back at home.
The news from the combat zone is unhappy. The Russian fleet, the Black Sea fleet, is said to be gathering for an assault on Odessa. That may or may not be accurate, but there are warships across the landscape, and some of them reportedly have opened fire on Odessa or on Ukrainian forces. Does this fact, the obvious militarization of the Black Sea Basin, including collateral damage, there are many ships bound to the Black Sea, can't exit because of the conflict. There are other reports of ships being hit by gunfire, though they're not combat ships. Does this change Turkey's opinion or landscape towards the Black Sea? Does Turkey now have to make changes about its defenses because of the Russian willingness to use its fleet in the Black Sea?
Now, over the years, we have seen a growing Russian presence in the Black Sea. And as expected, NATO member states in the Black Sea, namely Romania, Bulgaria, and Turkey, have been wary about this Russian presence, Russian footprint, as well as hegemonic ambitions. I think the latest Ukraine war has just given such worries another boost. That is, Ankara now watches with concern as Russia increases its footprint in the region. And of course, here we have to mention one important international convention, that is, the Montreux Convention of 1936, which regulates transit through the Turkish Straits into the Black Sea. And at this point, Ankara has implemented two of the articles of this convention, namely Articles 19 and 21, and closed the straits for all warships, not just to the belligerent sides, Russia and Ukraine, but to all warships with one small exception, that is Black Sea navies returning to their ports still have access through the straits. But this also shows that how integral the Black Sea security is, not only to Turkey's and NATO's security, but also to the international convention, namely Montreux, that regulates transit to and from the sea.
The conversations, what we know, between Ankara and Moscow, do they remain neutral? Do they remain not accusatory? Or is Russia making demands on Ankara? Or is Ankara making demands on Moscow? What do we know right now, Aiken?
Now, there have been a number of contacts, and so far, these relations are very cordial. So I would argue that among NATO members, Russia still has the warmest relations with Turkey. In fact, Russia's ambassador to Turkey thanked Ankara for its implementation of the Montreux Convention, which surprised some of the observers, because ultimately Russia was really happy that Turkey closed the straits not only to the belligerent sides, but to all warships, namely also all the NATO warships. Plus, you know, Lavrov agreed to meet his Ukrainian counterpart on the sidelines of a foreign policy conference Turkey hosts annually in Antalya. And also, you know, the Turkish foreign minister was given a warm welcome in Russia. I think this all shows that Moscow appreciates Ankara's fence sitting, namely no Turkish sanctions against Russia, Turkish airspace remains open to Russia, and Turkey did not join other Council of Europe members to suspend Russia's membership. So I think ultimately the Kremlin realizes that this is as much as the Erdogan government can deliver, given Turkey is a NATO member state.
At the same time, President Erdogan has made it clear that he wants to host conversation, direct conversation between Vladimir Putin and President Zelensky. Is that surprising that Erdogan is advancing himself as an arbiter in the conflict?
Not at all. I think there are a lot of gains to be made if this can go forward. First of all, as I've explained, Turkey has, of all the countries in the region, Turkey has almost the most to lose, you know, economically, politically, financially, and also in the defense sector as well. Second, Turkey trying to play a mediator role, it has been a blessing for the Erdogan government, because until recently, Ankara has had a very negative image in the West. And this is providing Turkey, you know, on the heels of Turkey's role in Afghanistan, yet another opportunity to make itself indispensable to the Western alliance. And we are now seeing that Turkey is trying to play the same kind of "we are a resource to NATO" role here. Now, of course, a peace talk between, like a direct talk between Putin and Zelensky, is easier said than done. But I think there is no harm in Ankara raising that issue.
At the same time, we have extremely positive news for people who have visited Istanbul, who have traversed from Asia to Europe, Europe to Asia, which you do by crossing one small, vivid, profound piece of water. There is a bridge. Turkish President Erdogan, within these last days, opened the world's longest suspension bridge over the Dardanelles Strait, northwestern Turkey, which cuts travel time between Asia and Europe to 6 minutes. This is wonderful, Aiken, a celebration. All these centuries, that's all we needed was a bridge. Erdogan, is he enjoying the attention of his European colleagues because of this bridge? Is there consideration now that maybe the EU has a new member out there?
Now, there were mixed feelings back at home in Turkey. You know, just to give our audiences the landscape, there are three suspension bridges over the Bosphorus, that is connecting Istanbul's Asian and European halves. Now, this new bridge, the longest suspension bridge in the world, connects the Gallipoli. You know, this is the western most tip of the Marmara Sea that connects the Aegean and the Black Sea. And that's going to be the first bridge connecting the Gallipoli Straits. And in terms of convenience, this is, you know, a great feat for everyone trying to travel through Gallipoli. In terms of finances, there is some mixed reception, given there are long years of revenue guarantees, and the bridge toll is set in foreign currency. At a time when Turkey is going through a really difficult time financially with rampant inflation and also devaluation of the Turkish lira, some of the Turkish citizens have already started complaining about the extremely high toll fees as well as the revenue guarantees that the Treasury will have to provide. So it has been a bittersweet moment.
Dr. Ekin Erdemir, he is director of the Turkey Program at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,